Let's switch this on. Yay! Technology! I can just about do it. Okay, so I just wanted to introduce myself first for anyone who hasn't like properly met me. My name's Hannah Goldstein. I work at U of T in Ryerson. I used to be out in UC Santa Barbara. I want to make it clear that I am not a geek. Okay? So everything that I'm going to show you, there's no HTML programming involved. You do not need to know anything past the way that you would usually work with Windows. The only thing which I can do, like they say, like in Judaism, like modesty is saying it's not saying, you know, I can't do this. Look at me, I'm just a neb. It's also knowing what you're good at. The only thing which I am good at, which maybe not everyone has the skills in, is that I'm good at taking cute little clip art and making like nice little flyers and things like that. And I come up with creative names for my classes. But otherwise, all the stuff that I'm going to show you, you do not need any kind of like special expertise in web programming in order to achieve it. Okay? So. Let's see, where did I start? Okay, so I wanted to run through a few things that I did at the WIT conference. I'm going to go through them pretty quickly because I think that probably everyone is holding in them here. But the first thing I wanted to say is, why particularly do I think it's important to present this at a women's conference? The first thing is that working on the internet is supremely flexible. You can do it from home. Now, more and more, you can do it on the go. And not only doing it on the go, in your line for carpool, is going to save you so much time, but also it's the way that social networking and the web is really moving. It's all going to come to your phone. It's all going to be very, very integrated. And some of the things we're going to look at, some of the new things from Facebook, are all based on the fact that you are on the go and you are on the move and you are constantly checking in. The second thing is that social networking is really a women's skill. It's really a women's guide. It's very ironic to me that a man created Facebook. But really, we are the people who really get social networking, which is we click, then we schmooze around someone's wedding photos, and then we make a comment. Like, how do guys communicate? Guys communicate as, hi, yeah, okay, pub, okay, 4 o'clock, yeah, see you there, goodbye. Boom, right? Whereas we're the type of people who will sit and schmooze on the phone for an hour, even though we're going to see that girl in like an hour's time, right? So social networking is one of our natural skills. And the more naturally you work with Facebook, the more authentic your Facebook is going to look and the more effective it's going to be. The last thing is that for women, our priestess concerns are so much less than our husbands. Like I was saying before, I have a girl, she is a Hooters girl, okay? That means, for anyone who doesn't know, she has incredibly ample chest area, right? And she is very good at showing it off. Do you know what? I think we're going to leave it like this. Yeah, I hate to say it. I think everyone's fine. Okay. So, okay, fine. So her Facebook looks like something out of Playboy. She doesn't deserve to become from. Of course she deserves to become from. In fact, she could probably integrate the messages of sneers so much better because you know what she deals with every single day is disgusting guys coming onto her. So she's going to get sneers so much easier than anyone else. But there is no way that I want my husband on her Facebook. Now, don't get me wrong. I trust my husband a lot. But why would I do that to him? Why would I put that into him? You know, it's not worth it. So if we're working on Facebook and we're the ones who are in the background doing all of that work, there's so much less risk for our husbands that that's another thing that they are going to face. Okay? So all of my, it's called the World Wide Web for a reason, okay? That the more integrated and the more connected you make all the different parts of the web, the more effectively your message is going to get out. So I've started in the middle here. This is my website, asiantheannex.com, and I'll show it to you later. So the first thing I have is Facebook. It's the first thing we're going to talk about. asiantheannex.com is linked to my profile, my husband's profile, and we have two old-style Facebook groups that also link from our homepage, and those links were very easy to create, okay? The other thing I have now, which I'm just starting to work on because it just came out maybe a month ago is the new Facebook group. So I created Hanagon Seeds Inner Chocolate Circle group. Okay, this is like my girls that I'm seriously connected with. So I also, from my Facebook, link into that. But it's not linked into my website because it's my private group, you know. It's my girls who I'm most connected with. So what else do I have? I link my website into H Campus, H Toronto, and H.com. Those are three different areas within my organization. The more links you have on your page, then the higher you get up the search ratings, the more integrated you are, the more people you are going to drive, the more people you're going to push into your material, into your latest programming, okay? What else do I have here? Okay, I have YouTube and Ustream. We're going to talk about Ustream. This is how I stream all of my classes. Everyone says, oh my goodness, I've seen your videos online, and that really freaks me out. And then I remember that I post them online. I also have YouTube videos on my website, which is just, it just adds media. It adds a whole different level. Instead of it just being a poster, suddenly it's interactive content. It's much more exciting for my students. The last thing I have is we do have a Twitter account. I am yet to find Twitter useful because Twitter is still, it's very interesting, and it's great if the TTC, if the metro in Toronto breaks down, then I can find out why it's broken down because everyone's tweeting, oh my goodness, I'm stuck in the metro, there's smoke everywhere, right? But in terms of Kirov, I've yet to really utilize it as a Kirov tool, so if anyone's doing that, you should let me know how to do that. But just because it's good social practice to have everything, I have it also. Okay, so Facebook, hints, tips, and new features. I'm going to run very quickly through this. So the first thing I have in terms of friends, I have three rules. Immediate, organized, and selective. Immediate means that I Facebook friend someone as they are standing in front of me. And you can now do it from your phone. Okay, so I have my phone. And I don't know where my phone went. Oh, well. I have my phone. I pull it out. I'm like, oh, let me just find you on Facebook. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Oh, I just friend requested you. You should accept me, right? And you stand there and you wait for them to accept you. Okay, just wait for them to, like it's like the most natural thing. They'll pull out their phone. Oh, I see your friend request. Great. Da 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 da. You're accepted. Done. Right? Instead of 3 hours, 4 hours, 3 weeks later after an event trying to go friend someone then when they don't remember who you are and then they really look at your profile and they really analyze, do I really want to be friends with them or not? The second thing is organized. There's an amazing feature within Facebook that not that many people know about, which is called Facebook, which is called friend lists. Okay? You can take your friends, and you can organize them into different lists. So alongside all of the universities. So for example, I work on three universities. I have U of T, Ryerson, and George Brown, which is a college. That automatically Facebook does for me. It organizes it into their colleges or networks. I also have a group called Hannah Goldstein's Girls. These are girls who I'm working with or who I want to work with. Plus also any Makarov who asks me, I want to see your material. I want to be included on your mailing list, right? What this means, because I have it set up, I have about, I think, 350 girls on that list, right? I think you're on the list,
yes.
Right? It means that when I create an event, I can invite 350 people with one click. That's all it takes. Instead of going through your list and going, this person and this person and this person and clicking them individually, I get 350 people in one go. It's amazing and so much quicker. Yeah.
So through the friend list, you could like basically make an event and then just click on that specific friend list for...
So the only thing, what you need to do is you need to invest maybe 8 hours of your life organizing your friends so far, right? Working out. And you have to be serious about it. Go through every person. If you don't remember who they are, work out where they are. Why did you friend them and organize them? So I have a few different groups. I have Hannah Goldstein's Girls, which are basically my students. I have From Friends, i.e. friends who I had to friend for some reason, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But I don't really like work with them. They're there because they see my stuff. I have From Networkers, right? Girls that I'm friends with who are either my madrachot or stuff like that, right? So I have that group also. And someone can be in multiple groups. So if I create a madrachot training program, I will invite all of my From Networkers to that, and I can do that in one click, right? And they'll also be on my Hannah Goldstein's Girls list, right? So you can have them on multiple lists. It is an investment, and then it's a little bit of, you have to be pretty strict with yourself that every time you friend someone new, it gives you an opportunity to add them to a particular list. So as long as you are disciplined enough that every time you do it, you will only ever have to do that 8-hour nightmare once. The other thing about the 8-hour nightmare is it means you go through your Facebook and you see every single person on your Facebook and it reminds you who they are, right? So sometimes that means that you get rid of people off your Facebook, you know, I don't need this person. I don't need this patriarch of God on my Facebook, you know, she shouldn't have Facebook anyway. And sometimes you remember students who you've forgotten and who you haven't connected with, you know, you keep seeing their name come up in your feed and you just don't remember how you know them, right? The last thing is select, yes, sorry.
When I have a new friend, it always says, do you want to add them to a list?
Exactly.
How do you start a list?
So how you start a list is on where it says...
Is it the same thing as a group?
No, it's different.
Okay.
On the side of your Facebook page, or if you're looking at your Facebook page, on this side, you're going to have a list of different options, all of the different applications that you have. Mm-hmm. One of those options is friends. Within that option, there is a place to create a new group. A new list. Okay? And then once that new list comes up, there's a dialogue box that looks very similar to the one that you have for inviting people to events. Mm-hmm. And you just click through each person that you want to add.
And do they know that they're part of it?
No, they do not know that they're part of it. Although I do, with my girls, I do say things like, if you don't want to be invited to my groups anymore, I don't like to spam people. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's even good care of. So they kind of know that they're in a certain group of girls that I always invite, but they don't know where they are, which is different to Facebook groups. Mm-hmm. Facebook groups, they know, okay? But you could create within your friends list a high potential, low potential, why am I working with this student? You know, and they'll never see that.
Okay. And so people who, let's say, were students 3 years ago, but I feel like I don't want to defriend them, because what if one day they want to ask me something or something?
I was wondering answers why, and like my student from six years ago, like recently just like texted me, like Facebooked me, oh, there's a program, like what do you think about that? I'm like, I haven't spoken to you in 6 years.
Right.
And I was like, wow.
I have former students on hold. I have all of these different lists that I'm working with, and it just organizes it so much easier for me. Okay? Also, you can organize your mini feed to only see current Hana Gold Scene girls, former students, firm networkers. There's also the option to do that. Yeah?
Every now and then, or pretty often, like people come to one program or Shabbos or something like that, mm-hmm. and then they'll fall off the face of the earth. So they're on my ongoing list.
Right.
Whenever I make events or send out messages or anything, sometimes it depends, like either I'll send it to them or I won't. That's where I go off and I, you know how you said, like you could select everybody at once. So I'll select everybody at once, but then I'll go.
And then you can deselect, right.
Do you suggest doing that, or do you say, just send it to them anyway?
No, the way that I work with Facebook is the way that I would work with Facebook if I was a student. I'm very into being as natural and organic with it as you can possibly be. Instead of using it as basically a substitute mailing list or like a corporation might use it, I feel like students see through that, number one. And number two, it's not so effective. Facebook is made to be organic, so you're going to get the best out of it when you're using it. And so, of course, once I've selected Hana Goldstein's girls, right? For example, if I'm doing a class on death, right? Death in the afterlife, I will go through and I will take a quick look at the 350 people that I have invited and just work out, is there anyone who lost someone recently? I don't want to invite them to that class, you know? Like, they're still going to see it on my Facebook profile, but they're not going to get an invitation to the one thing which is going to make them cry the hardest, you know? So I would definitely do that. Because you're using it naturally and organically, because that's what someone would do, you know? Like, someone's going to have a movie night, right? One of my students is going to have a movie night. They're going to invite their whole friend list of friends who they sit and get high with, right? But they're watching a movie which is a little bit of a girly movie. So what are they going to do? They're going to go through and they're going to deselect the boys. You know, so if you use it as your students would use it, just like you said, it's going to work so much better. Also, like, if you're more selective, it gives your invites, it gives your messages like a little bit of a higher priority to your kids, because they realize that it's not just arbitrary, it's not just a mailing list. Okay, let's move on.
It doesn't look good to have, you know, 600 declines and you know, four maybes. And,
you know what I mean?
Right, so...
It eliminates a lot of that. If someone told me, like, I'm going away this weekend, so I'm not going to send them the invitation for this weekend. I know they can't come.
Right. You know? So let's talk about events. So events used to be very useful, and now I find is incredibly unuseful for what we used to use it for. We used to use it for promoting an event, and then we would go and we would take a look. Oh my goodness, what are my numbers? People haven't responded. Nowadays, I find that no one responds to an event. No one responds to an event. So you're gonna get to my last class. To my last class, I had 10 girls sitting around the table, right? What did I have on Facebook as the event? One person had accepted, but I had 10 people around the table. I had one person who'd accepted. I had three maybes, and the rest of people were awaiting response, right? So it's pointless to me. I don't even worry about who's coming, who's not coming. The great thing about events is once you've created your event, you're going to create your event, and then you're going to message that group, okay? You're going to message that event, and that gives you a chance to put the event out there. It doesn't matter whether they decide, I'm coming on Facebook, I'm not coming on Facebook. Facebook doesn't exist, right? Facebook is a world that doesn't exist. Just because they say they're going to come on Facebook, they're probably not. I find that those people who say they're going to come on Facebook almost never turn up. Those people who put maybes also almost never turn up. And it's all of those people who are like awaiting response, right? But they saw it, and that's what you want. There's a few other things that I do in terms of Facebook events. The first thing is little extras. And I don't know whether you can see because it's a little bit small. But this is my, if this is my profile picture, Hannah Goldstein is. You know who Hannah Goldstein is? Going to the bathroom. Hannah Goldstein is whatever I'm doing. So Hannah Goldstein is an iJew. Come find out how. Hannah Goldstein is so excited for this event. Hannah Goldstein is Hanukkah'd up. Hannah Goldstein is going to Target and to Rabbi's Wife's Conference. I'm out of town, girls. Right? I use my Facebook profile status as another way of promoting my events. The second thing I do is I change my Facebook profile picture. It has not been my face for a very, very long time because most of my students know what I look like. And those ones who don't know what I look like, doesn't make a difference to them either, you know? So every event that I have, I make a little JPEG, a little picture, right? It's clip art, and I do it on Facebook Publisher. It's really not that hard, right? And then I just upload that as my Facebook profile picture. So anytime anything happens on my Facebook, I'm promoting my event. If someone posts on my wall, I'm promoting my event, even though they're posting about coming for Shabbos. Okay? So you're just gonna put your picture up there. And the way that I got the idea is actually a really sad way. There was a girl who got abducted in Toronto, and the Toronto police encouraged everyone in Toronto to change their Facebook profile picture to a picture of this girl with the number underneath. Right? And it was incredibly effective at getting the message out. Sadly, she still hasn't been found. And she's Jewish, Miriam Machnashavelli. But it was incredibly effective at getting her picture out. Everyone knows what she looks like now. Okay? The second thing is being lazy. It used to be, when Facebook was new, that you could create an event and it was the most amazing way of never having to call again. Right? Now, a lot of Makarovim are forgetting that how we used to do it was we used to sit on the phones and call for hours and hours and hours. You still have to do that. Now, with so much going on Facebook, you cannot rely on Facebook to get your message out. And there is nothing which tops having a call from you saying, I really want to see you at my class tonight. I have to tell you that I wrote my class with you in mind. And I really think that it's very, very appropriate for you. Nothing is going to get them like that. You know, nothing is going to get them like the personal contact, and it's not worth giving it up. This is a tool. It's not an excuse. Yeah.
Did you say that to more than one person coming?
Yeah, because Judaism is relevant to every single neshama on this planet.
Okay, but then let's say they talk to each other and someone brags to her friend, like, oh, yeah, she called me.
She wrote it for me.
So I might not say I wrote it for you. I would say I wrote it for you in mind. It's exactly for a girl like you. I kind of looked at my class, and I was like, oh, this is what this class needs, you know?
You can say it to two best friends.
Right, exactly. You can be smart about it. Okay.
How often would you say that it's appropriate to change your status?
I change my status. Like, right now, I'm status deprived. So, like, because you can't get Facebook at Osamair, which is not a bad thing. I would say I change my status every time I have something that I need to promote.
Meaning every other day, every
Thursday? At least every other day. at least every other day I've got something new going
on.
What's
the best time to put things up? Because people only look at the feed that's coming on their front page.
Right, but your feed is not related to timing. Your feed is related to how relevant Facebook programming thinks that your message is to the person who is looking at it. It's not so related to timing. So you could post it at night. It's not like Twitter, which is showing the latest and greatest, right? It is, it's much more like, for example, Google Ads, which is going to read your profile and be like, oh, you're friends with this number of people. And so I can get, if you look at what's been happening on the feed, it's not 100% time sensitive. So if you're changing every day or every other day, your message isn't going to get lost in that. Plus also, statuses is just one way in which you're changing, right? Everything else that you're doing on Facebook is also going to get your message out and your event out over and over and over again because it's your picture, right? Like when I had the vampire complex, I had like a picture with like fangs and blood and whatever, and everyone was like, what is this? You know, even like my Kirov rabbi. My Kirov rabbi was like, Hannah, what are you doing? It's okay, it's a class on being a neshama, you know? But like, it just gets your message over and over. Statuses is one way to do it.
So you're saying that, you know how in the top there's the two tabs, it says top feed and then recent updates?
Right.
So how do you get on the top feed?
How do you get on the top feed? It's based on my understanding, and from what I've spoken to people who are in the know about, my understanding is that it's all about how many friends you have, whether you are communicating with someone that is also friends with that person. So between mutual friends, events will get on there, but if you create too many events, sometimes it doesn't get on there. So it's very, very organic. The programming is incredibly, incredibly smart. Like, incredibly intelligent. So, you know.
It's not about what you do, it's about an algorithm.
Right, right.
No, she's not here.
But for me, I found I have a lot of success with Facebook because I don't try and trick the system. I'm not into tricking the system. I'm not into, like, trying to play the system in any way. I just use it like my students use it. And because I do that, then I'm getting on people's top feeds and I'm getting out there and people see my stuff because I'm doing it organically, like, and I have a lot of success with that. Okay? Cool. So, what do we have? Mini feed. So this is what we were just talking about. The last thing I wanted to say on that is mini feed loves content. Okay? Facebook updates are one way of doing it, but for example, with our high holiday services, one thing we did was we created a little YouTube video. Okay, we created a YouTube video that promoted our services. Facebook loves this. Did you put up an MP3? Link to that MP3. Do you have a video? Put that video onto Facebook because Facebook loves anything that isn't just a status update, that isn't just someone writing on your wall. They want to make the mini feed interesting to the person that is reading it to make them come back to Facebook.
What's the mini feed?
The mini feed is what you're going to see every time you first log into Facebook. Right when you first log in, it's the first, it's all of those status updates that you see. They're not just status updates anymore, they're everything. They're wall posts, they are videos, they are notes that people have written. Okay?
I'm not so sure. Is that where it says top news?
Yes.
Oh,
it's
the same thing?
Yes.
Oh.
Okay? Okay, so I want to talk about three new things that Facebook is just bringing out. They've either brought it out in the last few months or it's just coming out. The first thing which is becoming much more popular is something called Facebook Places. Okay, and I just discovered it, so I don't think that I'm any more of like some kind of mega expert on it, but this is what I found. Facebook Places is a robber's dream, okay? Because what happens is your students go around and check in where they are and like all of their friends who wanna steal all their stuff know that they're not there, okay? It is very, very popular in America. It's still just catching on in Canada. But basically what happens is on your phone, let me show you. I hope that you can see this. On their phones, this is an iPhone. It's the very, very middle thing, which means that that's something that Facebook wants to promote, right? You click on Facebook Places on your phone, and then it'll ask you to check in. So here's Facebook HQ. There's a big button that says check in. okay? And then just above it, it says, what are you doing here? Or tag your friends who are here, okay? So firstly, because it's a project that Facebook really wants to promote right now, and they're very into it, that means that it always gets on people's feeds. Everyone knew that I was coming to a Care of Wives conference. All my girls knew that I was out of town. Why? Because it got on their top news, because Facebook wants to promote Facebook places right now. Yeah. It is an application that comes that comes within the Facebook package. You don't need to download it.
So if I already have a Facebook app on my iPhone, I don't know where the places thing is.
You're probably gonna have to just update your software.
But isn't it dangerous that everyone really does know where you are at all times?
Yeah. But I have a nanny at home and a husband who works from home. Oh, okay. So yeah. So that kinda helps. Also, I don't have people who rob my house on my Facebook profile. So
that's good.
Right, exactly. So the first thing is checking in. So I've started trying to check in wherever I am. So for example, when I used to work much more on campus, Hannah Goldstein checks in at the USEN, the University Center, right? So therefore, all my girls know where to find me, you know? Oh, I'm also at the USEN. Let me come hang out with you. Great, I've just made a meeting and I haven't even tried. You know, like, it's great. You can tell people where you're at if you're on campus. Also, as I just said, I checked in. Everyone knows that I'm out of town right now. You know, I make it interesting. I check in at the mall and I tell people what I'm buying because people have an incredible amount of voyeurism. And they love to know where you're at, what you're doing, you know. Take a picture of your kids and you can actually take a picture of where you're at and then post it. Hannah Goldstein is a fantasy fair with the kids and post a picture of your kids, you know.
That's basically Facebook's answer to Twitter.
No, it's Facebook's answer to Foursquare.
To what?
Foursquare, which has been doing this for much longer. Right, so Foursquare is like the leader in this. Internet-based organization that was doing this whole idea of checking in. Facebook picked it up, and now Facebook work with Foursquare. But it's not Twitter. Twitter is much more news. This is only location-based, but you can add a comment about what you're doing.
This is you're checking into wherever you are.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're at Starbucks right now.
Right.
Whatever you're doing.
So the other major way that I think this could be incredibly useful is imagine you're running a Hanukkah party, okay? You have 20 students at your Hanukkah party. So what are you going to do? You're going to make sure that all of those 20 students check in. Oh my goodness, I'm at an awesome party right now with all of my friends. I tag all my friends who are there. Right, they're all tagging each other that they're there. Yeah, the food's amazing. It's so cool, right? All of their friends are then going to see where are they at. They're at this awesome party. I should also be at that awesome party. And everything on campus happens just like that. Right? Everything on campus. Like one minute we're going down to the bar, but the next minute actually we're not going to the bar, we're going into town. The next minute, no, I can't really bother going to town, maybe we'll watch a movie. Like, it's not that they're planning 5 weeks in advance. Well, on Thursday night, we're all going to meet at the local bar. Like, they don't do that. It happens very, very organically and immediately, and this is one of the ways that we could use that. So when we have an event, the only thing you can't do it for is obviously Shabbos, because that would suck. Right? That would suck. Yes.
Is this only for your phone? Or can you do it on your Facebook page?
You cannot check in on your Facebook page. You can only do it on your phone because your phone has the locator ability.
Any phone? Would it BlackBerry have it?
Yeah, BlackBerry. It also has it on BlackBerry.
What's the exact address where you are?
What it does is it locates you just like, for example, when you click on your phone for GPS. It'll locate you. It uses exactly the same GPS software that your phone has installed.
You just click check
in. Right, you just click check in and you're done.
What is the address? Like if I click when I'm at home, it'll say like...
Right. So the first time you check in at home, okay? So I live in my branch. So the first time I checked in my branch, it knew vaguely where I was and it said, where are you? I don't know exactly where this is. And it gave me a list of local places. So I said, no, I'm not at any of those places. I'm for sure not at any of those places, right? I am at Aish in the Annex. Created a new Facebook place that is Aish in the Annex, okay? So once you've done that, what you have to do is claim your place, okay? Once you have created it, for example, up north, Rachel Zelenka created Aish Campus at York, right, as her Facebook place. And the location is her house, right? So this is mine. This is Aisha in the Annex. What you have to do is you have to go on and say to Facebook, I am Aisha in the Annex. And they ask you various verification questions. One of the things they want to see is that you have an email address that has a similar ending to whatever yours is. So I'm Aisha in the Annex. Aisha in the Annex. My website is aishaintheannex.com and my email address is cgoldstein@aish.com. So Facebook was like, I get it. I see it's connected, right? Someone who's just working at Facebook will go onto my Facebook page, will go onto my website and see, oh, there's a picture of Hannah Goldstein. Okay, fine, legit. Also, you can do it by taking your organization and the address that you've just checked into. If you have any paperwork, you can scan that in and upload it as a PDF, and Facebook will see that. And the people at Facebook will connect you up to your page. Once you have access, administrator access to your page, then you can play around with it just like you play around with your profile. So here I changed the picture from just like a generic one to my logo. And it has where I am. It has a little map where I am. And you can change the description. You can upload opening hours. You can create events. Okay?
This is all for the places.
This is all places.
And all on your phone.
No, this you're going to do on your computer. As soon as you've created your place, you're going to do it on your computer. Okay? Okay, so this is new Facebook groups. And new Facebook groups is going to change the face of everything. Is going to be amazing. Okay? It came out maybe a week ago, 2 weeks ago, something like that, and it isn't really so popular right now, so now's the time to use it. It's called Facebook Groups, but it's new groups. It's fine. It's new. It's what everyone is calling the new type of group. Okay? So, the first important thing to know, now when you create a Facebook group, it's opt-out. You know how when you used to create a group, you would invite someone to a group and they would have to respond? No longer. Now when you invite someone to the group, they are automatically in that group unless they choose to opt out. Right? It's great. It's the most irritating thing. So you have to be careful how you do it.
I feel like they're going to recall it. I feel like it's not going to stick because people don't necessarily like being added to so many different groups.
So a lot of times there's resistance to stuff that Facebook does and they just wait it out and it sticks. It's amazing. So listen, it is new. It is new. So definitely use it to its full potential right now. You're right. It might be changed. There is a problem that they have to fix about privacy that right now you can invite friends. Like if you create a group, a closed group, right? Even though it's closed, the friends who you included can invite their friends, and people don't necessarily want that. So they're going to have to fix that bug in some way. But I think my feeling is that this is here to stay. I think it's here to stay.
Yeah.
We'll see. I'm putting my money on the fact that it's staying.
What happened? We made a Shabbos zone. We invited people to come for Shabbos from the law school. And they invited their friends, and before we knew it, we were getting 15 to 20 RSVPs from this Asian group saying that they want to come. They're like, free dinner? Amazing. Sounds
but was that an event or it was a group?
It was a group.
Cool.
Anti-group.
So.
But you're right,
The privacy settings, that's for sure they're going to change that, for sure. They've already come out and said that they're working on a fix for that. That's out in the open that they're going to change it. But I don't know that they're going to change the opt-out system. We'll see. At the moment, it's opt-out. That is amazing for us. Because, you know, we work constantly on an opt-in system, right? Kirov Rehokim is opt-in. I'm opting into my Judaism now. Kirov Kerovim is they opted out of their Judaism. That's how I always explain it, right? So here we go. We have a situation where this is now making Judaism opt-out, right? You have to actively turn around and say, I do not want to be in this group. And how many students can be bothered to do that? Zero. Okay, that's the first thing. The second thing is group chat. I love this, right? Instead of sending a group message, you can now send group instant chat, okay? So, for example, if I want to promote one of my classes, okay, I'm going to go into my group, which is Hannah Goldstein's Inner Chocolate Eating Circle, right? I'm going to click chat, It's right here at the bottom. You see, oh, this is H Campus Canada, the one that I did. I created one just for like my organization to play around with. I always suggest doing that. The first time you see something new on Facebook, get a ton of your friends who you know are like cool and understand what you do, create it and play around with it. So we've spent like the last week, H Campus Toronto has spent the last week playing around with this functionality. So here we go at the bottom. I don't know whether you can see it, it says H Campus Canada, just where all of your chats come up. Okay, you're gonna click on it, a dialogue box comes up, whoops. A dialogue box comes up with, and it'll have the pictures of every single person who is online from that group, right? So you could be chatting with
a million people
all at the same time. Hi, everyone. Just wanted to remind you that my class is coming up this week, right? And it'll come up automatically on their Facebook, right? Okay. The last thing is it has docs on it. It has a new way that you could create a document. So for example, you could, on the groups thing, so you could create a document which is all about all of the different, which is all about the class that you just taught. Okay? And we'll see. I don't think that's going to take off as functionality because I think that it's too complicated for Facebook, but I want to put it on there anyway.
What does that mean, like create a document? Like on
it's like a Facebook note.
Oh,
it's like a note, except you can make it bold and underlined in italics.
Like,
so,
the summary or class.
Right, exactly. Okay, Facebook messaging. Facebook messaging is changing. It will change whether you like it or not. For right now, most people are going to still have the same thing, but you might be one of the lucky people who gets an invite to new Facebook messaging. I am currently bargaining with someone who works at Facebook. I'm sending him cookies. He is sending me out an invite as soon as he has one to send out. Like, so I don't have it to show it to you in pictures yet, but Facebook messaging is changing. It's going to be amazing for us. Firstly, it's going to integrate every single way that you speak to students. So there'll be an email address at facebook.com that you can get. So for example, I will have hannahgoldstein@facebook.com, okay? And then I can use that and I can forward that to my regular address, or I can take my regular address and forward that to my Facebook address, okay? The second thing is you're going to be able to text from Facebook. And the last thing is that Facebook messaging itself is staying and chats is staying. Because they have integrated all these different things, the first thing they're going to do is they're going to create a social inbox and an other inbox. You need to make sure that your stuff ends up in the social inbox, i.e. I'm really a friend with this person and not in what they're going to consider to be their spam inbox. Okay? You want to be social. How do you do that? You're going to have to be as organic and natural about your material to make Facebook think you're really friends with them. The best way to do that is to really be friends with them. With the person who you're trying to contact. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's the best way to do it. Don't fake out Facebook. Actually have, like, personal contact with your students, you know? But you want to make sure that you're ending up in that social box.
So, like, the more you were in contact, then they feel like, oh, like, they're contacting, they're talking to each other, they're friends, they're seeing
right.
each other. Oh, she needs to know about that person.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. The last thing, which is going to be incredibly helpful for us, is that Facebook messaging is going to be organized by person. So that means that you're going to see everyone that you have contact with and every single piece of contact that Facebook can possibly find and gather is going to be in one place, right? So you're going to be able to track all of your contact with a student with one click. It's going to be amazing. It's going to suck on the other hand because you are going to have to make sure that you're not bugging people. Right? You're not going over the top because otherwise they're going to click on their name and they're going to be like, Facebook message sent by, email sent by, text message sent by, right? And that's going to suck for you. Now, right now, if I want to get hold of a student, I'll Facebook message them, I'll email them, I'll call them, and I'll text them, right? And because all these four things are in different places, they don't necessarily see that I have tried four times to get hold of them. Now, they're going to see that you tried 24, 48, 72 times to get hold of them.
So everything that you send them will be on their page.
Mm-hmm.
That's annoying.
It's annoying, but also it's going to help us really track students.
Can their friends see it?
No. It's like an inbox, like an email inbox.
And it helps you, though, see how many times you actually bother people.
Exactly. You can see how many times you bother people. So you're going to be able to have a much clearer perspective of all of your contact.
Well, would that, like, it would show up both, like, if I contacted you, it says on my Facebook, I contacted you four times, and it tells you that you got contacted four times?
Yeah, because I have in my inbox, instead of the messages, I'll have your name and your picture, and then I can click on it and see all the conversations I've had with you by text, by email, by whatever it is. Okay?
Yeah. Sometimes I get I don't know if it's spam or not, but it says, like, would you like to see how many times people view your profile?
Okay, so it's an app which someone built. I never use that. I know. But some people have it, but they can only tell IP addresses. It doesn't really work because they can only really tell IP addresses. They can't tell who's doing it. They can just about tell you how many hits your page got, and that's about it. You can do that other ways also. Okay, so that's all I have to say about Facebook. That's the three new things which will come out on Facebook. It's places, it's the messaging, and it's the new Facebook groups. Okay, so I wanted to deal with something else. Easy steps to becoming an internet star. So we have so much content. We really do. If you think about every class that you teach, that is content, and the internet loves and needs content. It is a content-driven system. The more content you put out there, the more famous you are going to be. So what I use to broadcast my classes is something called Ustream TV, okay? Ustream TV, this is a terribly horrible picture of me. I don't know why. I was really tired when I was writing this. Okay? Once you get through the login procedure, it is not hard. Okay? If I'm sitting in front of my computer like I would be talking to you right now, I'm going to have my computer like this. Okay? I have my picture, right? So it's got my webcam, just my laptop sitting on the table, sitting at a table exactly like this with about the same number of people. Okay? All you have to do, if you can see here, there are two green buttons. One says, start broadcast. Guess what you want to do when you want to start broadcasting? You click it. It goes red, and it tells you that you're broadcasting across the internet. You can also click here, and it says, start record. Guess what that does? It starts a recording. It's really cool. And then it records your entire class, saves it into their library, gives you a link that you can then put on your website, and you're done, and that's it, and you do not need any technical expertise to do it. And if you want to get a little bit complicated, it will create a piece of code for you. You go cut, you select it, you go cut, then you get into your back system of your internet, which we'll talk about, your content management system, you paste it in, and the video actually appears on your website. That's all I did. It was a cut and a paste. Okay? Yeah.
So this is basically you're videoing your class from your computer.
Mm-hmm.
So your computer has a camera in it.
Right. So I have a webcam up here. So I'm videoing it live. So my students are watching it live. And that could be, what do I want to put here?
So forget projectcyanide.org.
Right.
Not necessary.
Right.
And they can watch it later too.
And they can watch it later as well.
Would it be good for Maimonides, for instance?
Yes. Well, like this. You have to be careful how you do it, okay? I would say like this, that if you made it for Maimonides, you know what your students are going to do? They're not going to turn up to Maimonides.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Because they can find an easier way to do it. They'll have it on in the background whilst they're watching Grey's Anatomy. Okay? So just be careful how you use it. But this is great if you are outreaching to any students who aren't round your table. So if you are on a commuter campus and your students go home, right, and you are having an evening class, not only will you get the people who aren't commuters and who live in the area, you can also get those students who go home and who don't necessarily want to come back. If you are on a campus where everyone lives on the campus, you use it because during the holidays, during vacation time, wherever they go back to, the middle of Nowheresville, they can still listen to your classes, okay? You can also do it if you work on outlying campuses, yeah.
What about chatting in the classes?
There's a group chat. There's an option.
Questions. It's facing you.
Right.
People are asking questions, so can that pick up? Do you need to repeat?
If you have a good mic, uh-huh. It can pick up. You can also repeat the questions. I, Badafka, do not repeat questions, okay? And I, Badafka, make this experience slightly less than as good as my classes. I don't have the best way. It's not the highest quality. There is a buzz in the background. And Badafka, I have not solved that by getting a really good mic because I want to drive them to come to my classes. So I make it so that my committed students will sit through it, right? But less committed students will be like, wow, I didn't hear that question. I kind of feel left out. And then I always make a joke. We have chocolate here. Why are you not here? You know? So
you have a broadcast and a recording. So you could just send the recorded link. Also, if people just want to download it on their MP3 player and listen to it while they're driving.
Well, it's a video. It's a video. If you wanted to do an MP3, then there's a nifty little thing in Windows where there's a voice recorder. You can just create an MP3 right through Windows. And it will work at the same time as this. It's just a voice recorder. And then that will create an MP3, and then you could upload that. But this is a video.
What kind of feedback have you gotten?
Feedback? Amazing. I have girls in Santa Barbara who tune in still. Girls in LA who still tune in. Anna tunes in. Girls in Israel who will stay up until 3 a.m., which is like very flattering. I think they should have much better things to do with their time seeing as they're at STEM. One of my former students who graduated UCSB, I worked with her for maybe 6 months. She just messaged me saying, I just want you to know how much I love watching your classes. I'm like, you're watching my classes? My little brother was like, I really liked your class on vampires. I was like, my little brother has never liked anything I've done. He's my little brother. You know, I used to beat him up, and then when he got taller than me, he beats me up. So, like, you know, and he's like, I really liked your class. You know, it's crazy how you'll end up. People are bored, and they're surfing around, and they're looking for content, and they'll
log in.
They'll
find the user screen.
Yeah, so they will actually find me on my website because I take the link. I post it onto my website, and I have all of my classes there.
Let's say you didn't do that.
If you didn't do that, you could also, I think that if you put in Google, Hannah Goldstein and Ustream, probably it will go to my page. Ustream's very good because Ustream also wants to promote itself.
And you could also upload this to Facebook or to Facebook.
Yeah. Okay. So what else do I have here? Oh, so it helps you. It helps you in two other ways. Firstly, you're going to end up with a library of your material, which I think is really important. And it's going to increase content on your website. And as I just said, web is a content-based system. The more content you put in, the more profile you have. Okay, this is my website. You do need a geek to create it, but once you have created it, it can be very, very easy to manage. My website is sick simple. Okay, it's very simple. All I have is my calendar. I have a few things down the side which can stay the same or can change depending on what I want. It has a nice banner across the top and an about me and this and that. I don't have Flash. Flash does not work on iPhones. So if you have Flash, no one will be able to get onto your site if they're just browsing around. I would suggest not bothering spending $5,000 creating a cool Flash entrance to your website. Who cares? Not worth it. Okay? The second thing, ditch the geek as early as possible, okay? You see, I had a little geek. That's cute, no? Right? Ditch the geek. Geeks drive me insane. Because you know what happens? You need to change something on the website, so you have to, firstly, sometimes you have to pay them. If they're a student and you don't pay them, they will never do it. Okay, so you want to pay them because you want to get the commitment out of them. They can charge an excessive quantity of money, pretty much as they like, because once they have control of your website, right? They're the ones who have the access codes. They're the only one who can do it. So, like, you know, they can basically charge whatever they want. So as quickly as you can, ditch the geek. Tell the geek that you want a system that you can change, okay? And tell them, I do not do code. Make it simple. And they will make it simple. There are great things out there that they can create for you. The last thing, keep it current. Right? So my calendar changes, and the way that I change my calendar, it looks like I'm just making a calendar entry. Okay? I don't have pictures of my content management system here to show you, but I log in, and then I just click calendar, create new event, and it says, what is the name of your event? My event is called I Do. What's the description of your event? Blah-de-blah-de-blah. Do you want to upload a picture? Yes! Right? It's like as complicated as creating an event on Facebook, my content management system, and mine is a really cheap one. Okay?
Does your husband have his own website also?
No, this is the Asian Leonics website. Okay, oh, and that's me. So that's pretty much all I had to say. And I ended on time. I'm actually getting good at this. Does anyone else have any questions? Yeah.
I just wanted to add, I'm terrible with computers, just as a disclaimer, but if anyone is interested, it's mandatory for more campuses, but my husband's created this insane tracking system for students. And during meetings, you can have your reminders for how often to call students or email students and what you spoke about.
So if anyone is interested in that, it's hugely, I mean, we use it for donor reports, it's mandatory in OR, but it's hugely helpful. I just use it to keep track of, you know, if you have so many students, it's very hard to remember how frequently did you call them and what did you talk about
right.
last time. It's just a great system for keeping track of things. So I know nothing about it, but if anyone is interested, I can.
That
yeah.
goes into a website?
No, it doesn't go into it's a base. He designed an entirely huge system on Salesforce.
Do you have to have Salesforce first?
But he can probably get a way to log in that's really cheap since we have a group, kind of a group thing.
That's really annoying.
What emails you to tell you to call people?
No, it's very useful. I'm saying it's work, you know.
Using Salesforce, yeah. But it can be very,
it's very helpful.
Yeah, I mean, it's also the perspective of, like, I mean, he created it for McCarvin to use. It's now used for donors, which we have
to
return reports anyway.
All the emails you get, you know.
He calls it MDS, more database system. It's like it was a huge year and a half project, but it's fully
designed. Because I know Salesforce now has a new overlay for McCarvin, so is that what they're talking about? Because I know Jewish Experience in Denver just bought Salesforce with a new overlay from McCarvin.
So I don't know. I mean, he changed the entire system to be used.
Mm-hmm. So, also the website. Putting back to sort of like what we were talking about before in terms of like getting, like let's say I'm making an event and I want to make sure that somebody's going to come to it.
Right.
So first what I would do is I'd make the event and then I'd send out the mass message to everyone. Hey, you know, just, I want to remind you to come to the event, bring your whatever. I'm thinking for the family party. And then, in addition to that, make phone calls also. Right?
Make phone calls, take the event, post it on your website, post it on your profile, talk about it on your profile. Every time you change your status, make it about your Hanukkah party. Like, just become obsessed with your Hanukkah party as much as your students are obsessed with their birthday. You know? If you use Facebook organically, like your students do, that's the most effective way of doing it.
Well, students don't use the phone, though.
Right. So we're talking about something different. Everyone wants to come to a party, get drunk, and you know, do other stuff. We're talking about trying to get into something Jewish, and there's like a natural resistance to that because we have neshamas and yetzer haras. But you'll notice that friends will still call. They'll still call their close friends that they want to be there. Hi, did you see my birthday party on Facebook? Yeah, it's going to be wicked. We're going to get smashed. There's going to be like 3 kegs. You know? They still call their friends.
Right, that's true. Well, how do you feel about mass texting?
People hate it because it costs them money. It's also stealing. If someone doesn't want it, as far as I'm concerned, I think you would have to ask a POSEC. But if you send out a text message to someone who doesn't want to receive it, surely that's gezel because you're stealing, because it's costing them money.
Unless they have unlimited texting.
Yeah,
unless they have unlimited texting.
I think it's different also in Canada. They have a different...
Right, in Canada they don't have that system. I mean, there's a few people who have unlimited texting, but most people it costs them something. Yeah. Or it's not really unlimited. Yeah. It's not really unlimited. It's 500 texts a month, which a high school student can go through in like...
I was going to say,
20 minutes.
That wouldn't work in this country.
How often in advance do you promote an event? How far in advance?
I try, best practice for me, do I actually get to do this? Not always. Best practice for me is to put up my Monday night class on Tuesday, and then I will send out a message that day.
Nearly a week in advance.
Nearly a week in advance on Tuesday. I will change my Facebook status before Shabbos to talk about my class, and then I will send out a Facebook message on the day. My email, my mass email will go out Wednesday or Thursday, and if it goes out Tuesday, then I'll probably repeat it on Tuesday. But again, like, you have to feed out your students. Yeah.
I want to add, but we just started doing, similar to what you say about when you do the status of putting in, like, is going to the Hanukkah party or whatever, we just started doing, like, can't wait to see, and then, you know, with the little, like, tagging you.
Hashtag, right.
At, and then the event.
Right.
So that way, and it became, and then, like, the students started as well, like, it just became, because then you feel so cool that, like, you were tagged in the rabbi status about going to the Metro Fest, and then
right.
it became like
that. So let me explain. Hashtagging is something that came over from Twitter, okay? On Twitter, if you want someone to see your message, you will what's called tag them in your message. The way you do that is you put a hash, and then you write their name, okay? Whatever their handle is on Twitter, whatever their username is on Twitter, okay? So I'm going to be hash Aishin the Annex on Twitter, right? So Facebook picked that up from Twitter, and now you can hashtag in Facebook because Facebook sees how successful Twitter has become, and Facebook likes to jump on the bandwagon with anything that's successful, which is why they're doing the same things as Foursquare. But yeah, hashtagging is great. And I believe also a hashtag will create a link to that person's profile. So they can click on the, right, they can click on the hashtag and then it'll link to you. Hashtag is the pound sign, sorry. I call it a hash.
Well, the A in the circle is what you, in our
tag sign,
I think.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Hashtag is when you're talking about a certain subject. Oh. You're right. Mm-hmm. You're going to put an at and their name.
An at and then
their,
like, whoever they
and
are.
And then their name will come up, their like, in Facebook blue.
Right. Their Facebook right. name. And it'll come out, and it'll come up as a link. You know how links are always right. blue and underlined? So it'll come up as a link. You can click and that'll take you. Yeah.
And if you choose, like, a couple of students who are all, like, not really friends with each other, so then it shows up on so many different
mm-hmm.
people.
Right. Yeah.
Do you spend time like looking at your students' profiles and their pictures and like a student? You said you like the students. Is it you sit there for hours? Like,
I don't sit there for hours, but if there's a particular student I want to connect with, I'll go through their pictures and I will comment on, oh my goodness, that's such a stunning dress. Like, I don't know, like random things. I really try not to spend hours on Facebook because just sucks your life away, and it's a big Yetzirah. Like, how many times do I actually need to look at Esther Merkel Rosenfield's engagement party pictures in order to get nachas? Like, how many times do I really have to look at those pictures of, you know, like, I have looked at Ashira Cosby's wedding photo. She's one of the students that, like, thank God I had this list to be involved in her becoming from. So, I have looked at her wedding photos more times than I actually need to. You know, it's a little bit of a Yetzirah, and you have to just stay very...
But you're very close to those girls already. What about the girls that are just on the campus and trying to get...
Them? Right, right,
you
so...
If I want to get
in contact with a student, if she's on my... This is my next target. You are going to Nevaeh, whether you like it or not, right? Then you're right. One of the ways of getting their attention is when they upload their holiday photos to say, wow, so you had an amazing holiday. You weren't wearing any clothes, but it looks like you had an incredible holiday. You know?
Is that weird? Like, they're like, what? I mean, like, they know they're your friends, but, like, why are you looking at my pictures? Is that, like...
Yeah, it is.
Oh, do you know what?
You saw me at a bar, you saw me at a party, you know what I mean? Like,
that's why if you Facebook friend them immediately, right? And then once you Facebook friended them, that evening, you're like, wow, we just met on camps and I just saw that you went on holiday to Cancun.
That's a little weird.
Right? Well, no, because everyone checks out
they
the profile.
It for a reason.
Right.
By the way, I don't know.
People love you taking an interest and, you know.
I do think, though,
there's a fine line between something that's productive they're doing and not. Because students are like, I don't want to see them in that light, and they don't want me to see them in that light. So there's a difference between a nice vacation and they're at the bar with the shop. That I wouldn't.
Which is why I feel that's why, as women, we can get, like, we can use this a little bit better. If the rabbi comments where it's like you had an amazing holiday, a girl who has bikini pictures in that album will be like,
oh my God.
Right? When I comment, wow, it looks like you had an amazing holiday,
they don't think
anything. They don't even think twice.
Right. If some girls said to me, like, I'd rather you not, I don't want to see them in a certain, and they don't want to see, even like bikini, I personally wouldn't comment on something like that.
Right.
But...
I think also it depends on, for example, I am a very first stage Makarov. Most of my girls don't know what SNEAS is. Like, it has never even crossed their mind. I used to work on Santa Barbara campus, where I was like, SNEAS, someone was like, bless you. Like, these girls wear bikinis to school, to class, you know? So for me to comment on a bikini picture was like nothing. But now at U of T, like, where I have these, like, straight-laced intellectual students, you're right, Like, you have to know your students, you have to know yourself. I'm working with very first day students, so I can pretty much comment on whatever I like. But if you are with like students who are a little bit further on, or you're a little bit more like learning orientated with them, like I sit down and eat chocolate with my girls. Like, we discuss their holiday to Cancun, and then I bring in sneers. You know, like that's the way that I work with my students. I don't sit down and say, okay, today we are learning about this and crack out a book. Right? Some, you're probably going to get them to Nevaeh quicker when you crack out the book. But for me, just that's the way that I learn with my girls. We're friends, and we're not learning. We're eating chocolate. You know? Should some Torah accidentally creep into the mix? That is totally not my fault, because you asked the question, not me. I did not say that I was going to talk about Shabbos. You wanted me to talk about Shabbos. I'm just here to eat chocolate. What do you mean? Why are you making me be a rabbi's wife? Oh, can't believe you're making me work when this is my chocolate session. You know, that's my personality, the way I work with girls. So, this is a very fair point. The inner chocolate circle. Because number one, everyone loves chocolate. I have never had a girl turn me down for a meeting, even if they hate chocolate. I'll call them, and I'll always get a meeting if it's about chocolate.
Do you say you want to come have chocolate and that's your life?
No, my line is, hi, you don't remember me. We just met on campus today. Like, I was the one who randomly asked you whether you were Jewish. And they're like, oh, yeah. I say, listen, I just had like a random question for you. You're probably going to think I'm crazy, but I don't care. Do you like chocolate? And they're like, yeah, I do. I'm like, great. Do you like free chocolate? They're like, yeah. I'm like, great, so do I. Can I tell you that, like, I really need a friend to eat chocolate with this week. You know, like, I need an excuse. Would you mind being my excuse? And they just find it funny. Like, they just find it funny and hysterical, and it's cute and whatever. And thank God I've been involved with very many girls through the power of chocolate.
Do you do that for one-on-ones or groups?
One-on-ones and groups. My class, if you take a look at all of the publicity for my class, it always says chocolate will be provided. Primarily, I made the joke.
Right.
I wanted to have a chocolate party. The way that I could get my chocolate, and I want to expense my chocolate, right? So therefore, we have to do a little bit of Torah in order that I can expense my chocolate back to my organization. But we're here primarily for the chocolate, you know? Like, primary, secondary is Torah, you know? By the way, there was an amazing scientific study which showed that if you wanted a successful date, right? Don't go to like a romantic, nice, you know, walk in the park, whatever. Go to like a roller coaster. Go to like a theme park. Why? Because it gets your adrenaline running and your heart starts beating, and people attach it to the person they're with rather than the experience that they're having. This is serotonin inducing, okay? It makes girls happy. Therefore, girls attach being happy to meeting with Hannah Goldstein. Are they actually happy out of meeting with me? I don't know. I don't care. But they remember being happy when they were meeting with me. And when they want to feel that feeling again, what do? They don't go to their cupboard and eat more chocolate. They call me and they go, Hannah, can we meet for chocolate? It's a scientific study from a book called 59 Seconds by Richard Wiseman. Yeah.
Can I ask another question?
Yeah.
Does anybody use Tzion Shabbos?
Yeah, no?
Yeah, no. Yes. Do you find it to be good, successful?
I got one guess so far.
Okay. I think I've seen it used productively for more advanced students that are going to be on that. The problem is, it's like it's a good supplement for, we use Facebook for Shabbos invites. I think it's a good supplement, but there's a lot of students that are not going to be on CEO. When Rabbi Kaplow visits our students, all of them are not any students by now because he hands out the papers, but I found it successfully as a supplement for something else.
The for us, the problem with CEO with CEO and Shabbos is that we manage our table very, very carefully, and CEO and Shabbos could be a little bit of a pull for less healthy students, and so we want our dynamic at our Shabbos table to be a certain thing, and so therefore we will always meet a student before we invite them for Shabbos. I still have massive Shabboses, like I have 50, 60 people for Shabbos, right? Like, we can have massive A-Pi Shabboses, do it in the garden, which is ridiculous in Toronto, right? But still, because if you find that healthy, cool students, in general are friends with healthy, cool students. So any students that we network out of them, 99% of the time they're very good, healthy students that I have to worry about. But it's those odd randoms that come that we always meet them first. So when you're getting a ton of students from something where you haven't vetted them first, I think you would still have to meet them and call them and assess them before.
So if you meet someone on campus and you think that they're a little, you know, so you're just letting them meet you and just have coffee with you, and then what if they find out about your Shabbos? They don't just show up? It's not just an open...
No, they won't just show up.
No?
So. With the CEO job, it's like not necessarily for like the Kira kids, but like I have friends that let's say come from religious homes and stuff,
right.
And like they're not Shomer Shabbos anymore. But like at one point, they went on a Shabbaton, let's say, to like classical class, right?
Mm-hmm.
At one point they went, so they needed a place to stay.